Ata Shri Damodarastakam Tatraiva. Now comes the Shri Damodarashtakam. It is as follows. Namam Ishwaram Satchidanandarupam Lasat Kundalango Kule Prajamanam Yashoda Biyoduka Latavamanam Paramishtyamatyanta Todrutyagopyam. I bow down to the Supreme Controller, the embodiment of eternal existence, intelligence, and joy, who wears frolicking, glittering earrings while shining in Gokula. I bow to him who, running from the mortar out of fear of Yashoda, is caught from behind by that gopi, Yashoda, who had been running with intensity. So, now Sanatana Goswami gives a commentary to this. He says, after bowing down to the Lord Sri Damodar together with Sri Radha, this commentary on Damodarashtaka is now disclosed. It gives an indication of the direction of that prayer. In these prayers, in order later to ask something from the Lord, Satyavrata Muni at first describes his supreme excellence with a reference to the excellence of his essential identity, beautiful form, pastimes, qualities. This excellence is the essence and entirety of the Lord's own divinity as manifested in Gokula. Thus, describing the Lord's excellence, he at first pays obeisance with devotion by saying, I bow down, Namami. Furthermore, it is enjoined that for the sake of auspiciousness prior to all activities, such an offering of submission be made with the quality of a servant, a mentality of a servant, according to the prescribed method at the commencement of the undertaking. This is a little technical. What it says is that Satyavrata Muni wants to ask Lord Damodar for a blessing, but he does not just ask it. He first prays to the beautiful form, the pastimes and the qualities, and he knows that what he prays to is a Lord who's manifested in Gokula, in other words, who has such a beautiful form in Gokula that it excels his form in any other place, in any other incarnation, and so on. Even when Mother Yashoda is chastising Krishna because she just cleansed him, and still he ran from her lap and then was on his belly going through the mud of Vrindavan and became all dirty. Even then this form is indescribably sweet. When she came and she took Krishna on her lap again, she did not mind that Krishna was dirty. She only chastised him by saying, "Were you a pig in your last life?" Krishna smiled and says, "Yes, the greatest." Remembering his incarnation as Varaha, still so in his form is so extremely beautiful. So this form is now described. What is the form to which Satyavrata Muni pays his obeisances? Well, he is Ishvaram, the supreme controller. That means he is the possessor of all potency and the one and only master of the universe. Ishvara means also that Krishna is nobody's servant. He is his own lord. There's no one, in other words, who is the lord of Krishna. Amongst these three qualities of an Ishvara, the possessor of all potency, the one and only master of the universe and his own Lord, the first option is chosen, that is the supreme possessor of all potency, because Satyavrata Muni needs potency to attain the ability to offer his prayers. The second meaning, that he is the one and only master of the universe, is also used because Krishna is supreme praiseworthy. There is no one who is more praiseworthy than him. And the final option is employed because Satyavrata Muni has an excellent devotion. He wants to say Krishna is under no one's control. This is a mere indication of the extent of the meaning. In other words, the Ishvaram can mean many, many other things, but Sanatana Goswami describes three. The possessor of all potency, the one and only master of the universe, and Krishna is his own Lord. How is Krishna constituted? What is he made of? Well, the answer is, he is the embodiment of eternal existence, intelligence, and joy. The meaning is that his form is composed of concentrated eternal existence, intelligence, and joy. Wonderful. We shall look at our Krishna after you have closed the door so that no mosquitoes. So Krishna is made of eternal existence, intelligence, and joy. Thus, his supreme excellence is declared with reference to the excellence of his essential identity. Krishna's essential identity is eternal existence, intelligence, and joy. Next, Satyavrata Muni declares the supreme excellence of the Lord with reference to the excellence of his beauty. Okay, now we will hear something about Krishna's beauty. The phrase veering, froilicking, glittering earrings means Krishna has two earrings which are froilicking. Froilicking means they are full of jubilation. And they are constantly playing with fickleness upon his two cheeks. This is very important. The ornaments of Lord Krishna are also persons. So these earrings like to just swing to and fro with great jubilation, and they put a certain light on Lord Krishna's cheeks, which is moving and which is extremely attractive. They're far out, they are the blissful earrings. There's another meaning. The earrings are also playing because of his running out of fear of Sri Yashoda. Or the earrings are playing as a result of his constant childhood play. Krishna's constantly playing. He's never stopping. In that way, the excellence of the brilliance of his beautiful face is declared. Acha, so the earrings are making the face of Lord Krishna beautiful. This is not entirely true, because we later hear amongst the gopis we're finding out that these earrings were making so much light, and they were considering to maybe remove these earrings because they were something like torch lights in the darkness which helped Krishna to see everything. Then they thought, no, this would be foolish, because it is Krishna who gives the light to the earrings, not the earrings who give light to Krishna. So there is another reason why these two earrings are the most prominent amongst all of the Lord's ornament. Why? Because they have the great fortune of being able to kiss Lord Krishna's beautiful cheeks. So, because the ornaments are so incredibly fortunate, they are singled out, but they also indicate all the other ornaments. They are, in other words, the leaders of all the ornaments of Krishna. From this we can understand one other possible meaning. We offer obeisances to him because due to his potency, the two earrings, kundalams, are glittering or scintillating. Scintillating means dancing. He whose limbs are the ornaments of these ornaments. I was just saying this a little while ago. Therefore, there is the following statements by the gopis of the 10th canto. Trailokya sobhagammidam janiriksya rupam yat godvija drumamrikha pulakan yavibram. When one has seen this form, which is the source of the good fortune for the three worlds, this form is so wonderful that the cows, birds, trees and deer experience horripilations. The key phrase here is Trilokya Sobhagam, which means the source of good fortune for the three worlds. This shows that Krishna's beauty is so wonderful that it makes the entire world beautiful. Instead of his beauty being increased by the beauty of his natural surroundings with its cows, birds, trees and deer, his beauty causes all of these entities to experience horripilation, that is, great showers of joy, thus increasing their beauty. Acha, so Krishna, is a wonderful form, gives so much joy to the three birds. And this means that the cows, birds, trees, and deer experience horripilations. There's actually a statement when Lord Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan. The forest of Vrindavan spontaneously bursts into many different colors, colored flowers. That's why one of the names of Lord Krishna is Madhava. Madhava can also mean the spring. Usually, at the appearance of the spring in a forest, the forest will jump to the occasion and show wonderful flowers. But here, when Lord Krishna enters the forest, it happens. So therefore his name is rightly given as Madhava. This is important. It's described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty was also like that when on the night when he danced in the kirtan, which went to the house of Chandkazi, Gadadhar had decorated him. He had decorated his head with different strings of flowers. And when Lord Chaitanya danced, he looked like a moving flesh, but not his flesh was not only like an electrical manifestation. No, his flesh-like form was flesh-like because it was as if 1,000 cupids were in that form, were present. So he really makes everyone fortunate, including also the ornaments. Vishma panam svasya satso bhagadhe, says Uddhava in the third canto. Param padam bhushana bhushanangam. The Lord's form is the cause of even his own astonishment. That form is the supreme abode of an abundance of good fortune, the limbs of which are the ornaments of their ornaments. In other words, they beautify the ornaments. Then Satyavrata Muni declares the supreme excellence of the Lord with a reference to the excellence of the Lord's environment. The phrase shining in Gokula, Gokule Brajamana, means he who appears beautiful in the abode of cowherds, cowherdesses, cows, calves, etc. He appears beautiful because of the awakening of even greater excellence than before on account of the appropriate place or because of the excellence of the natural beauty of Gokula. And that is described in the glorious 10th canto and elsewhere by a statement such as the following. Now we hear how Krishna's beauty is increased by his surrounding. He's shining, Krishna shining in Gokula. There's an example now. When Lord Krishna sat amongst the circle of the gopis and was worshipped by them, he appeared radiant, exhibiting his form, the single abode of all the opulence of the three worlds. In other words, Krishna's excellent beauty even looked more beautiful because he was we can compare him like a blue Indranila jewel surrounded by champak flowers. In fact, because the Lord is surrounded by Srimati Radharani, He is like that Indranila jewel, and who has adopted, imagine this, the golden effulgence of his dearest devotee. Radharani's effulgence is a mixture of lightning, gorachan, that's a pigment which can be found on the cow's hoof, and finally the champak flower. So in this way, Lord Krishna's beauty is sometimes said is increased by Radharani and the gopis. Now comes another excellence of Lord Krishna. We will now go from his form to his pastimes. This comes from the word Yashoda onwards. It said the phrase running from the mortar out of fear of Yashoda means he was fleeing with great haste from the inverted mortar which he had mounted, having climbed up onto the base in order to steal the butter that was within the hanging jar. So he was on a mortar to reach a hanging butter container, a jar. But now, because Yashoda became present, he developed great fear due to his transgressions, because he had earlier broken a yogurt pot and now he was aiming for the butter pot. So, in this regard, the following statement from the 9th chapter of the 10th canto should be studied by those who desire to know the specific details of the pastime. Here is now the verse from the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 8 to 9. Observing from behind her son standing on top of the base of the inverted mortar, giving at will to the monkeys the fresh butter that was within the hanging pot, his eyes filled with apprehension and fear on account of his stealing, Yashoda slowly came closer to Krishna, step by step. Then Krishna noticed her and saw that she was holding a stick. In great haste, he came down from the mortar and fled as if he was frightened. Yashoda chased him, whom even the minds of the yogis cannot attain. Although by their austerities they had become fit to enter into his Brahman in effulgence, you know, still the yogis could never attain Krishna. They were ready to go into the impersonal Brahman, but they could not come to Krishna. But Yashoda, yes, she was running with intensity, adyanta to drutya, in other words, with great haste. So then, what happened? Well, Yashoda caught him from behind, from the backside. So here, running with intensity, adyanta to drutya, points also at the excellence of the beauty of Sri Yashoda, who was beautiful due to the heaviness of her breasts and hips. Why? She was so beautiful, so extraordinary. Well, because she had so much affection for Krishna. When someone is affectionate, he becomes beautiful. So that's why it says that the residence of Goloka Vrindavan are the most beautiful people because they have such astonishing, amazing love for Krishna that makes them so beautiful. You can never see such persons as the residents of Vrindavan. You will never find such beauty anywhere, because they are manifesting the greatest amount of affection for Krishna. By the appropriate usage of a term of endearment in the word gopya, it is implied that such great fortune belongs only to those born in families of cowherds. So that they are the most fortunate, because they're the residents of Vrindavan. By the phrase caught from behind, the excellence of the Lord's love for her is implied. This is a mere indication of the meaning of the verse. In regard, the meaning of the following verse from the Bhagavad Purana should also be studied. So the Lord allowed himself to be caught from behind. Why? Because he just loved Yashoda so much. Here's the verse. It's 10:9:10. Following him, the thin-waisted mother, with her movement hindered by the weight of her large shaking hips, trailed by flowers fallen from her hair bands, which had become loosened by the speed of her running, caught him from behind. That's the verse. Actually, we hear that there were three types of flowers on Mother Yashoda, which fell off when she was running behind her son Damodar. The first type of flowers were very, very partial to Lord Krishna. They were thinking out of protest, this is an injustice. How can Mother Yashoda try to catch Krishna? We cannot be part of this. We quickly will jump off. We do not want to be present in this injustice. They jumped off. The other group of flowers were partial to Mother Yashoda, and they thought, we will jump off because we have a little weight, and this little weight will be an additional weight for Mother Yashoda to carry, which will be the cause of her not being able to catch Krishna, because we must make it easier for her. So let us jump off. And they fell off Mother Yashoda, not because they were partial to Lord Krishna and didn't want to see this, but they were partial to Yashoda and wanted to make it easier for her so that she wouldn't have to carry their weight. And there was a third group of flowers. Who just were so much overwhelmed in the bliss of this pastime that in their great ecstasy they spontaneously decided as a voluntary expression of their ecstasy. It's an anubhava. They voluntarily decided, let us pay our most humble obeisances to this pastime. And they jumped on the floor of Vrindavan to pay their prostrated obeisances to this pastime. So we are very, very fortunate to hear this wonderful purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Sanatana Goswami, who goes word by word through this amazing pastime. He has said Damodar, but he says he offers this purport also to Srimati Radharani. He says the reason why this whole prayer is said by Satyavrata Muni is because he wants to have something, but he prefers to first glorify Krishna, and he starts with Krishna being the Ishwaram, the supreme controller, and he needs to glorify him like this, because supreme controller means he who possesses unlimited potencies. So Satyavrata Muni hopes that some of the power will go to him so that he makes a very nice prayer. Then he describes Lord Krishna's existential being. He is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of intelligence and bliss. And he then goes on to describe the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which is served by the ornaments. They dance. The leaders of the ornaments are the earrings. They dance back and forth on the face of the Lord and put a glitter. But we should not believe that they independently can serve the Lord. No, they get all their light and all their beauty from the Lord. Then it is described that the Lord's beauty becomes even more embellished by him being in Gokula. And it was especially mentioned that Lord Krishna once sat amongst the gopis like a jewel. Then Mother Yashoda and the pastimes are described. She had seen Lord Krishna on the mortar, getting ready to the hanging, to steal butter from the hanging pot of butter. Actually, he had already started feeding the monkeys, and then Mother Yashoda ran behind him. Krishna was afraid. Mother Yashoda came slowly first of all there, and Krishna became so afraid that he looked back and ran like anything. But Mother Yashoda, with intensity of love, ran behind him. Mother Yashoda's beauty is described, and also the fact that she left a track of flowers is described. So tomorrow we will read in a similar analytical way verse 2 of the Damodarashtaka. This was only verse 1. Srila Satyavrata Muni ki jai.